David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call, and he and his colleagues are looking at the landscape of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And David, already the House Veterans Affairs Committee wasted no time in coming back from their break to have a hearing today about what's going on at VA and look at the new report out from the Department of Veterans Affairs about the scheduling issues in Phoenix and other hospitals around the country. That's at federalnewsradio.com, and we have a link to your Roll Call coverage of that hearing on the in-depth page as well. Here's what I wonder, though, based on your years of watching men and women go to the Senate and try to get confirmed, who in the world could possibly get confirmed to go and lead the Veterans Health Administration or the Department of Veterans Affairs right now, David?
Well, the easy answer is somebody who's been recently confirmed, somebody who's shown that he or she can get confirmed. That's actually what the president just did with this double switch with Sylvia Matthews-Burwell and Sean Donovan. So initially you might say, well, the guy who's in the acting position, but Sloan Gibson, but who was confirmed overwhelmingly to be the deputy. But, you know, being acting in this job right now is perhaps not the right choice. And when the president himself announced Shinseki's departure in this acting situation, he essentially said to the press in the briefing room, he's got a lot to learn and he will not be the permanent pick.
Yeah, that was what I took away from the president's comments, is that, yeah, Sloan Gibson, nice guy, temporary solution, not permanent solution. And it's a shame, I guess, for the people at the VA, because as you look at his qualifications, you would think otherwise. Here's a guy that's a perfect choice, ran a private sector company, is a veteran of himself, served in the United States Army, long career there, ran the USO, United Service Organizations, so he understands the veterans and military communities extremely well, and yet he's already been ruled out. If it's a double switch, then, and I don't want to get down to the level of individual names because that's not constructive, and usually the predictions are always wrong. But what it sounds like you're saying then is it wouldn't surprise you if it turned out to be somebody who's already somewhere in the administration.
That's right. Either a senior, a confirmed person. Now, that could be, I hasten to add, a general officer. They actually technically need to get confirmed, and there are some background checks that are done, and you could at least say if they reach into the ranks of the top brass, well, that this general or this admiral has been confirmed. It's getting on in the administration now. There's only 6 months left before the last Congress of the president's term. So somebody who would get confirmed, they would want somebody who would get confirmed very quickly, because I don't think they want, or the Senate wants, a long confirmation hearing and any kind of contention. They want somebody who's kind of a slam dunk, who can get in there and get to work. But even if that happens, it's only really, a two and a half year job.
And the other issue here, too, in that context, I would expect that we would see something like we saw with Ms. Burwell, where her name came almost from out of nowhere. Nobody had talked about her as a potential replacement for Secretary Sebelius. The nomination happened. The confirmation hearing happened. She was confirmed, and she's in. And it was like boom, 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 which, at least in the context of Washington confirmation timelines.
That's right. I mean, hers was is now being seen as sort of a textbook case of how to do it. She was given really, really good marks in the Senate for doing sort of an exhaustive campaign. I mean, it is a campaign. You go from office to office, and you want to do it quietly. You don't want TV cameras trailing you around. You go to every conceivable senator who might object or take an interest in your nomination and say, "What can I do to assuage your concerns?" And you're candid and you're quick and you're quiet, and that's what she did. So that might be the textbook for how this would work.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. There are more hearings on this, obviously, on both sides of the aisle. There are both sides of the hill, excuse me, and about, I don't know, it seems like 86,000 pieces of legislation that have various effects on how work is done at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Senator Reid's offering a deal to Senator McConnell on getting some of that to the floor on the Senate side. Do we have any sense yet of how this might play out legislatively? Is any of that taking shape yet, or because of coming back from the break, is it still kind of, are all the pieces still falling into place?
All the pieces are, but both things I think are true. All the pieces are still falling into place. We had this deal announced at the end of last week between Bernard Sanders, you know, one of the most liberal senators in the country, the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, and John McCain. They need to turn that handshake deal into legislative language. Sometimes that takes longer than than anybody really thinks it ought to. Sometimes that's also an excuse for trying to fine-tune it to win over some skeptics. Neither of these senators, because the Senate was away for the weekend, they haven't really figured out probably exactly who's going to vote for it or against it. I still think that there is a chance that this could fall apart on the pay-for question. It's still an expensive bill. It's a couple of billion dollars to get this bill off the ground, and the way they propose to pay for it is not satisfying to some of the sort of the conservative fiscal budget hawk hardliners.
It's interesting to me that we're playing kind of standard operating procedure budget games with something that is so high profile and so viscerally disturbing to the average American citizen, who usually doesn't care one way or the other about budget games in Washington. This whole VA thing is making people sick all over the country that veterans have been handled in the way that it appears veterans have been handled, David. And yet we seem to be kind of still doing business as usual on the Hill.
I think that's exactly right. I think there may be a disconnect or a slow to connect between how the budget argument usually plays out and what the politics are. And it may just be the case that by the time the senators have taken the pulse back home, that some of these even more conservative senators say, yes, I will declare that this is an emergency. The national interest is to declare it an emergency. We're not going to worry about the budget. We're just going to pay for it.
Your colleague at Roll Call, Matt Fuller, has a story up headline, GOP Congressman Helps Uncover Another VA Waiting List Scandal. This one by Congressman Tim Holzkamp. The story says he wasn't satisfied with the answers he was getting from a VA hospital in Wichita, Kansas. So the Republican lawmaker planned an ambush, bringing along a local television crew. The result was an acknowledgement of long waiting lists and deeper concerns about veterans' health care. What I draw from that, David, is in addition to the issues as far as the leadership at VA goes, this whole crisis situation is not likely to change anytime soon. And so if you're someone who either works at VA or deals with VA, this is something that's going to kind of be the 800-pound gorilla in the room for a long, long, long time to come.
I think that's right. And I think Mr. Holzkamp would say that I don't think that, from what my understanding is of this story, I'm talking to Matt, the reporter, a little bit, there was no reason to believe that he knew what he was going to find. So maybe what that means is that, that this problem is just as endemic as people fear, and that it's not just Phoenix, it's not just Wichita, it's endemic and it's everywhere, and it will take more than legislative action this summer and more than a new VA secretary. It'll take time.
If I'm the VA, though, and if I'm a potential leader, to go back to what we talked about earlier, if I'm a potential leader at VA, the idea that this congressman just went on a whim to take a chance he might find something that wasn't right and did, that cuts a little bit too close to the heart. I mean, because that won't be the last one. I mean, with all due respect to the congressman, that's a stunt. If he went there not knowing that he was going to find anything or what he would find, and he just happened on something, it was a stunt that got lucky, and he certainly wouldn't be the last one to do that, I wouldn't think.
That's exactly right. It does also, because, yes, I think you're right in saying it's a stunt. It is just, it's on its face a stunt. And that the last thing a new VA secretary would want is to take office while, members of Congress are pulling such stunts and making your job a whole lot more difficult even from the day you're moving in.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're the third or fourth or fifth member that does that and finds a problem, it's not a stunt anymore.
No, then it's the opening up, the fact that this truly is even worse than we think it is.
Okay, so is it fair then to conclude that we may be dealing with an acting VHA leader and an acting Veterans Affairs Secretary for some period of time? Because I'm trying to imagine. I mean, I know the president and every administration has very loyal people who want to serve the president and serve the American people, and it's wonderful that we have people who are willing to do it. I just can't imagine what that scenario looks like right now, and how you convince somebody this is going to be the best way to spend the next 2.5 years of your life.
Right, unless it is somebody, you know, the president. You know, people take the president's phone calls, and who knows? Maybe he'll call up somebody who is, you know, some incredibly prominent American, and ask him to do it, and we'll all be stunned and amazed, and this person will be confirmed by July 4th. But that seems like an outside shot at this point.